sound familiar? If your baby is going through another bout of bad diaper rash, then you need to give Dr. Mom Butt Balm a try. It was created by a mom who's also a doctor. When my kids were little, I remember using this thick, goopy cream to help soothe their sensitive skin. It was so difficult to wipe off. Not with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. You only need a small amount, and it's really easy to apply and remove. It's also free of dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, so it's gentle on your baby's delicate skin. Help your baby feel better and get relief from irritating diaper rash with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. Look for it on Amazon and Walmart.com.
When you have your baby, you study every tiny inch on her sweet little body. From head to toe, she's perfect. But what is that on her butt? Is that a bruise? You finally get your little one home and you wait and wait for her umbilical cord to fall off, but it hasn't yet. Is it supposed to look like that? When should you call your pediatrician? I'm Cindy Cathy, certified postpartum doula, trained lactation educator, childbirth educator, and you're listening to Newbies.
He's gorgeous.
It's a girl.
Surprise! The whole family's here.
So when are you having the next one?
It's just poop.
Ready for another?
Wow, you look really tired.
Ready to go back to work?
Yellow poop? Seriously?
Did you sterilize this?
Sex? Now? You've got to be joking.
You should sleep when the baby sleeps.
She doesn't look anything like you.
I thought you already had your baby.
I did.
Babies don't come with instructions, so there's Newbies, helping new moms and new babies through the first year. Welcome to Newbies, broadcasting from the Birth Education Center of San Diego. Newbies is your online, on-the-go support group guiding new mothers through their baby's first year. I'm your host, Kristen Stratton. I'm also a certified birth doula and postpartum doula. I'm the owner of In Due Season Doula Services. If you haven't already, be sure to visit our website at newmommymedia.com and subscribe to our weekly newsletter. You can also subscribe to our show through iTunes, so you'll automatically get new episodes when they're released. Sunny's here to tell us about other ways you can participate in our new show.
Okay, so we want to hear from you guys. We want to hear from the listeners, and we want you guys to be part of Newbies. And we have several segments that you can get involved with. So the easiest thing is for you to head on over to our website at newmommymedia.com. Click on the Newbie Show link, and that was going to take you to the Newbie Show page. And click on the segments, and you'll see all the different segments. But there's a couple I want to highlight right now. We have an Ask the Expert segment where you guys can submit your questions that you have for you and your newborn babies. Anything that's going on in your life, you're like, I'm not sure if that's quite right. We'll definitely have our experts look into that for you, and we'll include your question and the answer on a future episode. We're always looking for fun apps to talk about. As you guys know, New Mommy Media has a brand new network app out there. All of our individual shows have their own apps. And so we want to know what apps you guys are using. What's making parenthood and life just more interesting and helpful? What's helping you right now app-wise? So let us know what that is, and we can talk about it on the show. We can kind of do a little review of it and put a link up on the website. And yeah, so those are a couple different ways. You can go to the contact link on our website to submit for any of those. You can also call our voicemail at 619-866-4775 if you want to actually tell your story yourself as opposed to Kristen and I telling it. If you want to share your story, go ahead and leave a message. No one's going to pick up the phone, so just leave a message, and we will take care of that. We'll get it on the show. A future episode.
All right, let's introduce our panelists.
I'm Ruthie Slatum. I'm 28 years old, and I own two businesses. I own Mama Ruthie, which is a complete postpartum care and lactation support. Sorry.
I love it.
As the baby burps.
The little baby burp.
I have three children. I have a 5-year-old boy, and I have a 2.5-year-old girl. And then Piper here is 3 months.
My name is Turiana. I'm 27. I'm a stay-at-home mom of two. My daughter is 3.5, and Elliot here is 5 months.
I'm Stephanie Glover. I'm 33. I'm also the host of Preggy Pals. I'm a trained childbirth educator as well. I have two children, ages 4 and 2. Gretchen is my 4-year-old, and Lydia, my 2-year-old.
And I'll go ahead and introduce myself, too, because I have some experience with our topic today. I'm Kristen Stratton. I am the host of the show, but I am also the proud mama of three kids. I have a 5-year-old daughter, a 3, soon-to-be 4-year-old son, and a 2-year-old son. Thank you, Piper.
familiar? If your baby is going through another bout of bad diaper rash, then you need to give Dr. Mom Butt Balm a try. It was created by a mom who's also a doctor. When my kids were little, I remember using this thick, goopy cream to help soothe their sensitive skin. Ugh, it was so difficult to wipe off. Not with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. You only need a small amount, and it's really easy to apply and remove. It's also free of dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, so it's gentle on your baby's delicate skin. Help your baby feel better and get relief from irritating diaper rash with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. Look for it on Amazon and Walmart.com. All right, so before we kick off our topic today, talking about birthmarks, stork bites, and more, we're going to talk about a big baby that was born in India. So this baby came out at 13 pounds, a baby boy, delivered to a 25-year-old mama via emergency cesarean, and is being described by doctor as a miracle. Okay, so the mother weighs 220 pounds and is diabetic, increasing the risk of obesity in offspring, and that's according to medical professionals. So anyways, this is a big deal in India. I know, you know, I actually did some research after I saw, because when I first saw the headline, I'm kind of like, okay, is 13 pounds really big? Like, I had a 9-pound baby, and I know, you know, we probably all have our own little stories of, like, seeing big babies or being, you know, birth buddies with other big babies or whatever, but I think I've heard of other babies being bigger in the U.S. or whatever. So I kind of wanted to do a little comparison. So I found some information on the internet, which, you know, is 100% reliable. And the biggest baby that was born, according to record, right, because we didn't keep track of this, you know, way back when, was 22 pounds.
No. No.
22 pounds, 28 inches long.
That's this.
I was just going to say.
That is this size.
That is this, yeah. Ooh. In Seville, Ohio. Ohio is actually my birth state. So, I guess we got something.
Go Ohio
and our big babies. But this took place in January 1879. And I know. Oh, right, because there was, you know, it had to come out one way.
Yes.
Right? Mom was 7 feet 11 inches. That's the mother. So it gives you an idea of, like, perhaps why. And you know,
was the father equally as large, or was he like an?
No, I actually didn't give any information about that, and the baby did pass shortly after birth. Yeah, so that's kind of a sad story. But then in Italy, the second one that I found was, again, a 22-pounder, so apparently the ounces were the distinguishing factor here, and that was in September 1955, so not that far ago. But anyways, it just got me thinking about big old babies, and I mean, what's the biggest baby that you guys have, whatever, seen personally, like newborn baby?
11.3.
Okay.
11.5.
11.5.
Yeah, I think somewhere in the tens, but I don't remember the ounces.
Wow.
Yeah, and you're like, I'm like flabbergasted. I've never seen a larger baby than my own baby, so.
This article says newborns typically weigh between 5 pounds, 8 ounces, and 8 pounds, 13 ounces.
Yeah.
So, yeah, when you look at that, 13 pounds is a lot.
It's impressive.
But, I mean, when I was pregnant with the twins got up to be like 5.5 pounds each. Yeah. So, what, that's 11?
That's 11. Plus the placenta.
Yeah,
the
right?
Amniotic fluid. Right. That's a lot of weight.
So, whatever, India.
Yeah. Good job, Sunny. Good job.
I'm patting myself on the back.
You should.
The point of the story is go Ohio.
Go Ohio. Yeah. So, really, we're just advertising your state. That's all this was.
Pretty much. Yeah.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at SkylightFrame.com/easy.
Today on Newbies, we're discussing birthmarks, stork bites, and belly buttons. Our expert, Cindy Cathy, is a CAPA-certified postpartum doula, trained lactation educator, and childbirth educator. Thanks so much for joining us, Cindy, and welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Cindy, as a childbirth educator and postpartum doula, you're working with parents before and after the babies are born. Are you able to explain to your childbirth students or at your postpartum consultations what birthmarks they might see on their babies when they're born?
We do that because no new mom is ready for actually the picture of what she births. Like, they don't know about vernix and they don't know about wonky heads. And so we do cover birthmarks. Yeah.
And can you explain what a café au lait spot is?
Just like what it sounds like. It's a pigmented spot on a baby that's like the color of milky coffee. Just café au lait sounds better.
It does sound good.
Milky coffee.
And what do Mongolian spots look like?
They look like bruises. They're bluish in color, and they're usually on the back, just at the top of the bottom. Yeah, in the lower spine.
And do those usually last beyond infancy?
They can, because they are pigmented birthmarks. A lot of times they're mistaken for bruises, and there's some, you know, when a child is brought in to a pediatrician or something, sometimes abuse is mistaken for a Mongolian birthmark. Yeah.
Yeah, so that would definitely be something that you'd want to discuss with your provider or your child's school.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, that's good to know. And what are salmon patches or stork bites?
Okay, so different from pigmented, which are like moles and café au lait, the stork bites and angel kisses, they're macular stains. They're pigments that are blood vessels that come up to the surface in certain areas. And salmon patches are kind of like the name. And depending on where they are, they've given them different names. Like on the back of the neck, they call them stork bites. Mm-hmm. On the face and around the nose and the eyes, they call them angel kisses.
Okay.
But basically, the same thing.
Okay. And what do hemangiomas look like?
They're a little different. They're more raised. Strawberry patches, you've heard that?
Yeah.
Because they have the texture of a strawberry. They can be puffy, so much more raised than the first two.
Okay. And what do port wine stains look like?
Again.
First five. If you're watching First Five, you'll get a
visual. I have a port wine stain.
Yeah, visual demo.
They look like port wine.
Okay. Just spilled all over.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
And panelists, do you have any experiences with birthmarks on your babies?
My daughter has a red mark on her her wrist, which I, you know, didn't know about was a thing at first. I was like, there's something wrong with her wrist. It's just a small little dot. It looks like she might have gotten like poked with something sharp or something like that. But she still has it at 3.5 and it's not going away, which is whatever. It's an interesting little mark.
Yeah.
She also has a white, I don't know like what they're called, but it's just like a white patch of skin on her torso. I have one on my back. My brother and my sister also have one. I don't know if they're hereditary. We don't even know what they're called, but it's very interesting.
Was she born with it?
Yep.
Then it's hereditary.
Yeah.
It's congenital.
He doesn't have anything, but it's interesting. It must have come from my dad then, because my brother and sister are half. So interesting.
And Stephanie?
Those of you just listening in, I have a huge port wine stain on my left arm onto my left breast. And I expected to have children with birthmarks. Actually, my cousin has a large white birthmark in the exact same spot that I do.
Oh.
And my sister has café au lait. My mom had just kind of all mixed up. But my first has nothing. And then when Lydia was born, the pediatrician made a mistake and was trying to treat a diaper rash, but it's actually in the inside of her bottom. She has a little like port wine, tiny, it's there. And so we were treating a birthmark that was not a rash. And then I also noticed on the inside of her arm, she does have a little spot like café au lait too.
Huh. So. Yeah, my daughter, she has a stork bite. And it's actually in the shape of a star. And she had no hair for the first 3 years of her life. So it was really cute. She had a little star in the back of her head. But then she also has two café au lait spots on her in like the middle of her back. So she's
three times blessed.
Yeah.
With birthmarks. And then not my second child, but my third, he also has a cafe au lait spot on one of his legs right next to his knee. And my husband has one too. I don't have any birthmarks that I can see. but, you know, it must be some hereditary component.
And a lot of times they're not present at birth. Some of the stork bites, they appear later. Like, I have a niece that was just a beautiful little baby, and then about 2 weeks, she got a strawberry mark about here, and it became like Gorbachev, you know, that huge thing.
Oh, yeah, the forehead, yeah.
So she had that her whole toddlerhood, and but it was gone by kindergarten. But sometimes they come a week or two later.
Yeah, that's true, because and also I think the cafe au lait show up later, because my son, my youngest, didn't have his show up until probably like 12 months.
Yeah.
Maybe some sun exposure has something to do with it too. But and same with my daughter's cafe au lait. But her stork bite showed up pretty soon after she was born.
Now, did that grow as you grew?
No, it stayed in this. It kind of grew with my skin. I have like little patches where it seems to maybe either have stretched or maybe it was just speckled to begin with. But yeah, doctors had told my parents, oh, it might be gone by the time she's seven.
No. Still here.
It's still hanging on.
33 years.
But what's really interesting is that my fingers are actually like larger, like my ring sizes are larger on the fingers with the pigment.
Are you left-handed?
No, I'm right-handed, but my wedding ring, like on one side it would be, you know, size 6 something, uh-huh. But it's 8.
Yeah, because usually the hand that you write with is the hand that typically is larger, probably because you use it more, so the muscles. Yeah.
It's almost, I mean, you could, it's like visually, yeah, obvious. Huh. Fat pink fingers on my left side.
You're beautiful, Stephanie. You're beautiful.
I like it much more now than I did as a kid.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah. I'm sure kids can be a challenge sometimes when things are different.
Right.
So, Cindy, are birthmarks typically with you throughout your entire life? Do some go away? Do some require treatment?
Yeah, a lot of them do fade with age, but then others don't. And depending on where they are, like the stork bite and angel kisses, they can be in a nose or in an ear. I had a baby that it was growing on her lobe of her ear, and as it moved in, they treated it. And it would be with steroids or silver nitrate. They kind of burn them off. But that would be a time when, if you're concerned, you seek your pediatrician's help.
Oh, okay. Well, my daughter had a hemangioma inside her nose, and it was actually she snored like a bear. but they said sometimes those do shrink and go away, but hers did not. So we ended up having it removed surgically so that she wouldn't snore like a bear.
And of course, any baby born with a mole, you need to keep your eye on those.
Yeah.
And then port wine stains, they can, if it causes the child concern, if it's, you know, something that bothers your child or you're concerned about it, because they are harmless, but they can be treated too.
Okay.
Stephanie, I'm curious about just, you know, you and your everyday life, and do people stare? Like, what happens? Like,
well, kids are so funny because they are unfiltered. So right. I always know. I know if a kid's looking at me for more than a second, I know exactly what they're looking at. when this is, it's fun, actually. I can make a game out of it, because if I push on it, it actually turns white. So if I put, like, all my fingers together, I can make paw prints on it and win any child over in a second. And that's actually, in school, I would do that too, and kids would get, like, weird about it or thinking they could catch it. I would just show them, like, look, it turns purple when I'm cold, which is kind of cool. It's like bright pink when it's really hot out. So I'm like a thermometer. Yeah, it's the mood mark. Right? Yeah. And I would like let kids just, you know, kind of push
poke,
on it. And yeah, right. But it took the, you know, uncomfortable piece of it out.
The awkward.
So, yeah.
You know, I'm really glad you came on the show for that reason, because some parents might be worried about that. Like, oh, my kid has this birthmark and it's big, or it's in a really obvious place. And how are they going to be traumatized forever? Or how are they going to get through their life? And, you know, I'm glad to see that you can come out and say, it's not going to ruin their life.
Well, and I really don't even see it anymore. When I was younger, I would be, you know, I would try to wear higher collars, and now I don't even really notice it until someone asks me. So.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
So I'm curious, you know, my personal experience with birthmarks, I have one on the back of my right leg is kind of like the middle thigh area. So sometimes you see it, sometimes you don't, depending on how short my skirt is.
I feel like we're getting to know everyone on a very intimate level.
Well, my kids always think that I have a marker on my leg or something like that. I'm like, no, I don't. But yeah, so my question is, I'd asked my mom these questions, you know, about my birth. And she told me it just started out as a little tiny like red dot. She's like, you couldn't even see it. And not that it's super big now, but it's definitely something that, you know, sometimes people ask me about. People ask me about it a lot more when I was younger. But yeah, so do you see that the birthmarks can kind of grow with the person?
They can, from what the research I've studied. I don't usually follow a family that long.
It's true, yeah.
But what color is it?
It's it's more like port wine,
yeah,
that color.
Because
yeah,
they've been known to grow, port wine. So you have a port wine birthmark.
I guess. I mean, it's pretty tiny. I'd show you, but then I wouldn't be able to. My shorts are a little long today.
Take a picture, put it on the website. Let everyone analyze it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So,
but I guess if anyone had any questions, they could consult with their pediatrician or with a pediatric dermatologist.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the show. We are talking with Cindy Cathy about birthmarks and belly button hair. Cindy, what happens? Oh, thank you. Elliot's going to help me. He's going to help me make the show far more entertaining. Thank you, Elliot. Cindy, what happens to a baby's umbilical cord after he is born?
You mean once they cut it?
Yes.
Okay. And then they put a little clamp on it, and they're just waiting for it to dry up like a scab. That's all it is dead blood.
Okay.
And that's not something, the baby can't feel that at all, right?
Not at all.
None of that. Okay.
Not at all.
I know my husband's kind of weirded out by that. He's like, I don't know if I should cut this. And they're like, no, they can't feel it.
And if a mother has delivered in a hospital, how is the baby's umbilical cord cared for it until they get discharged?
It used to be the AAP would say rubbing alcohol or hydrogen peroxide. But they don't anymore. They've found that just leaving it alone, it heals faster. They've done studies and it heals faster than belly buttons that are messed with rubbing alcohol. No, they should not help it come off faster. Just keeping it dry is the best thing. Clean and dry. Yeah.
You know, that was what I did with my first, was the rubbing alcohol on a Q-tip and just kind of on the exterior, because that's what they were recommending, you know. So hopefully that wasn't causing her any harm or pain. Kind of feel bad about that now.
I know. I was totally mortified after my firstborn because I was waiting and waiting for the belly button, you know, to the skin stuff to fall off or whatever. And it was there one day, you know, you had like a zipped up, you know, onesie on or something like that, or a sleeper. And then the next day it wasn't there. And I'm like, where did it go?
The mysterious belly button.
Well, we do have a dog. Oh. And I'm just going to Because I did not sweep it up. I don't, you know, I didn't have any other kids at the time. So one can only deduce.
Yeah.
That
a tasty treat.
The dog had some beef jerky.
You know what? I'm pretty sure that happened with one of my three. In my haze of having three kids in 3 years, I cannot recall which child it was. But I'm pretty sure there was one. I think it was my second child. Where same thing. It came off and was never seen or heard from again.
I know.
So
right?
That may have also happened, where the dog came upon it and took care of it for me.
Totally.
Cindy, when should a parent call their pediatrician if they think their child's belly button is infected?
Well, they'll see the normal signs: redness, swelling, baby has a fever, the baby vomiting, if there's an odor, sometimes the belly button has pus, definitely immediately call the pediatrician.
Okay. And how does a pediatrician usually treat a belly button that has not healed in an appropriate amount of time?
They would use something to cauterize it to make it, either it's come off and it hasn't stopped bleeding. I've never heard one never coming off. So I don't know what an appropriate amount of time would be, but the pediatrician, isn't it silver nitrate?
I've heard it. Yeah. Silver nitrate. Yeah.
We had to use silver nitrate on Elliot's umbilical granuloma because it just wasn't healing properly. And we had to go in actually for two applications of it, because the first one didn't dry up he's got a really deep belly button. It's like a cavern in there. So, like, the first application at, I think it was probably like 10 days, maybe 2 weeks old. It didn't get it all, but I thought it was still working. So I just left it. And then finally at his like 6 week appointment or something like that, they did it again. And then that finally got it all, but it is deep. So it makes sense why it just took forever to dry out.
You can store toys in there.
Well, no, and that brings up an interesting question. And that is like, what causes, do we have any idea what like helps form the belly button and shape? I mean, innies and outies. Do we have any idea? Or this is just a mystery of life?
I don't know.
It's a mystery. It's a crapshoot, basically. Really, yeah. They used to say my mom taped a penny to mine. And that would help be an innie. I do have an innie, so I don't know. But no, it's just, it's however it falls off, how the healing goes inside.
Okay.
Yeah, and I also heard a rumor it was how it was cut, how well it was cut. Yeah. And so that places a lot of unnecessary pressure on the
it
people
does.
Cutting.
Right.
I can't imagine that's true.
Right.
Yeah, I would assume it's more to do with how well it heals and, yeah. But that's a very interesting question. Yeah.
Because everybody wants an innie, right?
I don't know. Do they? I feel like some of my kids have both. It's like an innie, then out.
Yeah.
Innie
mine
out.
Is angled. Yeah. I feel like, yeah, it is. It's like half of it
half.
On one side is a little out.
My daughter's a halfie, like kind of like flat.
Right.
But after kids, mine's kind of like...
Yeah,
exactly. It's making its appearance.
After totally, kids, it's game changer.
Yeah, like game
man,
changer. I really wish I had my cute belly button again. Like of all the things, I really was just it was my belly button.
I'm just thankful I can see my belly button.
So, Stephanie, did you ever have to go to the pediatrician with concerned about your children's belly buttons?
Lydia's bled for a little longer than Gretchen's did, so we went in and I think they gave us not Neosporin, it's like the Bacitracin, or if that's what it's called. Like an ointment, but she said if it kept bleeding, they would actually consider doing another vitamin K shot, which I found interesting because it could have just been like a blood clotting kind of, you know, issue that could help with. But it ended up finally clearing up and was fine.
So, Cindy, what is an umbilical hernia?
When the umbilical cord comes through the tummy wall to connect with the placenta, it has to part muscles and things. And so sometimes those muscles don't go back together like they should. And they're not anything to worry about. Sometimes you don't even know your baby has it. Sometimes you can only see that there's a little bump, like when they get angry and they're crying really hard. Of course, have your pediatrician look at it. But my experience has been that they don't do surgery unless it's massive, the really big. Usually the wall will close and... if they still have it, I've heard if they still have it by 2 years, then they'll consider surgery. That seems like a long time to me as a mom, but it's nothing really to worry about.
Yeah, I've definitely had a few postpartum clients and a few birth doula clients whose children had them. And yeah, they didn't seem like there was a big hurry to intervene.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, so I would definitely ask your pediatrician what the time frame for treating that and when is that necessary.
Right, all right.
And when should parents notify their pediatrician if they suspect that their child has one?
Immediately. There's no harm in doing anything immediately.
And panelists, did any of your children have an umbilical hernia?
Katie did.
Katie Stevens, our guest photographer.
Yes. Tell us, Katie. Tell us about it.
Oh, you have one.
Oh, you have one.
Oh.
Tell us. Well,
tell
you have to explain.
Jump in on the mic.
Yeah. Hop in.
Hi, everyone. Well, I don't remember mine, but my mother told me that when I was about 18 months old, they suggested that I should have surgery. So I actually have a little smile scar right underneath my belly button.
Wow. It's like your belly button's constantly smiling at you. That's nice.
I'm telling you, this is a very intimate show. I mean, I just saw Katie Stevens.
And we saw it again.
We just bonded right now.
Well, thank you so much, Cindy, and our lovely panelists for chatting with us today about birthmarks and belly button care. And for our Newbies Club members, our conversation will continue after the end of the show as Cindy will share her favorite postpartum doula tips for keeping diapers away from newborn belly buttons. For more information about the Newbies Club, please visit our website at newmommymedia.com.
Fluffy bread, fresh tortillas, classic burger buns, and so many carbs. Carb fear is real, but Hero Bread makes healthier versions of the carb-heavy favorites we love most, We're talking fewer calories, 0 to 2 grams net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, and seriously, great taste. Made from a new recipe using heart healthy olive oil and resistant wheat starch that acts as a prebiotic fiber to promote gut health, Hero Bread products have more of the dietary fiber and protein you want without the net carbs and sugar you don't. There's something for every craving. Sliced bread loaves, buns, and tortillas, plus monthly small batch drops of indulgent favorites with no compromise. Like the 2 gram net carb Hero croissant or the 1 gram net carb Hero cheddar biscuit. Don't skip out on your favorites. Just use Hero Bread. Get 10% off your order at hero.co with code HEROPOD at checkout. That's HEROPOD at HERO.co.
All right. So before we wrap up today's episode, I have an email that I really wanted to share with you guys. And this comes from Cindy. And Cindy writes, I just finished listening to your episode about the baby blues and your timing couldn't be more perfect. My little girl was born a few months ago and she's our first. So we really didn't know what to expect. I can't really explain it, but I just didn't feel quite right after her birth. I felt disconnected, like I was living someone else's life, and I just couldn't understand why I wasn't able to connect with my baby. Since her birth, those feelings have subsided, but I'm still not feeling 100%. After listening to your episode, I now know that this is probably not just the baby blues anymore, and I should talk with someone about it. Thanks again, Cindy. Cindy, we like to have a lot of fun here on Newbies, and sometimes our topics, though, are a little more serious, and this was an episode that I think kind of fell into that category. It's a little more serious, and I really do appreciate you sharing this with us, because this is exactly why we released the episode. This is exactly why this is actually part of an entire series that we're doing on postpartum mental health. So baby blues is the first one, and then we're going to do one on postpartum anxiety, postpartum depression, postpartum OCD, and postpartum psychosis, because these aren't really talked about a lot. And some moms really do go through it, and it can be kind of scary, especially if you're trying to search for stuff online and nothing's coming up. So again, Cindy, thanks so much for sending this in. And if you guys know someone who's struggling with the baby blues right now, please consider sharing that episode with them so they know that there's other moms that are going through it as well. And we're so glad that we can help you guys through this.
That wraps up our show for today. We appreciate you listening to Newbies. Don't forget to check out our sister show, Preggy Pals, for expecting parents. And Stephanie's representing Preggy Pals for today. So pimp your show. Parent Savers for moms and dads with infants and toddlers, the Boob Group for moms who breastfeed, and Twin Talks for parents of multiples. Thanks for listening to Newbies, your go-to source for new moms and new babies.
This has been a New Mommy Media production. The information and material contained in this episode are presented for educational purposes only. Statements and opinions expressed in this episode are not necessarily those of New Mommy Media and should not be considered facts. While such information and materials are believed to be accurate, it is not intended to replace or substitute for professional medical advice or care, and should not be used for diagnosing or treating healthcare problem or disease or prescribing any medication. If you have questions or concerns regarding your physical or mental health or the health of your baby, please seek assistance from a qualified healthcare provider.
How would you like to have your own show on the New Mommy Media Network? We're expanding our lineup and looking for great content. If you're a business or organization interested in learning more about our co-branded podcasts, visit our website at newmommymedia.com.
Hey, mamas. Don't forget to check out Mighty Moms. It's our online community built for new moms just like you. Not only can you connect with other moms, but you can also join us backstage for special mom-only online events. And you'll also be notified when we're recording so you can join us as a special guest. Visit our website, newmommymedia.com, and click on the Mighty Moms banner. It's free. That's newmommymedia.com. See you there.